Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Open Minds Radio with your host Alejandro Rojas.
Ladies and gentlemen, your wait is over because Open Minds Radio is back on the air. We couldn't be here last week because we were actually doing the audio visual for the Crash Conference. That's Ryan Wood's conference in Viva Las Vegas. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of great speakers, and I might as well get right into it. Some shocking stuff, some great stuff. You know, Richard Dolan, I've had him on the show. I've got interviews with him on my website. And we'll have more interviews and stories with Open Minds. But he got a standing ovation. He talks about, you know, UFOs and the secrets, and he's a historian, and he's got a great book out there called UFOs and the National Security State, and he just came out with volume 2. So he was just awesome. Who else got a standing ovation? Well, Linda Moulton Howe, I think, got a standing ovation. She did a great job. She covered Rendlesham, the Rendlesham Forest. We've talked with Nick Pope about that, and that was essentially the UK's most famous sighting or event, you know, of a possible landing and all of this stuff. And essentially, you know, it really is more exciting than Roswell. I mean, there's more evidence, there's more witnesses, incredible stuff there. Some interesting kind of stuff, really. There was a talk on the California drones, and I was real excited about that because, you know, that's been such an enigma. But I don't know. Sorry, guys, but I didn't think they really shared a whole lot that was new. They, at the beginning, said, we're going off the premise that these are not CGI. I don't know why they would go off of that premise to begin with, because a lot of picture people that I know, graphic artists, have been saying that that is, like, looks like it is fake. So I don't know why they would go off that assumption, but even then, they were able to find where the pictures were taken. They canvassed the areas there, but they really didn't come up with much. So there wasn't much there. And then the most shocking was my ex-boss, James Carrion. I don't even have an Xbox, but it's probably a good thing I'd be busy playing Xbox right now instead of doing a radio show. James Carrion, the director of MUFON, who really shocked people with his conclusion that Roswell was probably espionage, some counterintelligence, where the U.S. kind of leaked that information out to Russia in order to throw them off track and make them think that we had some e-tech technology and stuff like this. So it was really funny, the response that he got, because people were you know, obviously very upset. They're talking and telling, hey, what about all this other evidence and la, la, la. He actually did show that there was some leaked, you know, information going out from the military at that time to mess with the Russians. And he was in Air Force intelligence himself, where he was decoding messages between Cuba and Russia because he knows Spanish and Russian. So, you know, he has a little bit of insight into intelligence and how all of that works. So that was a very interesting talk and no doubt the most controversial. So you'll have to check these out. And guess what? Since Open Minds did the video, we did it. We streamed it live, so you could have watched it live. However, we're also going to sell DVDs, and we're going to have an area where you can watch it online. And all you have to do is go to openminds.tv. In fact, you can go to openminds.tv and see all of the latest news, some excellent stories by our staff writers, Mauricio Bayada, Antonio Uneas, and Alejandro Rojas. We've got an international group. Mauricio from Italy, Antonio from Chile, Alejandro from Denver, Colorado. So, I mean, well, that's still three different countries, even if I'm from the U.S. here. But my name still sounds very international, and I think that's important when you're really looking for credibility in this field. But if you go to openminds.tv, you're going to see all of these stories, all the stories I'm going to talk about, and a couple of really cool ones that Antonio and I have written. Antonio wrote a story on UFOs during the Vietnam War. He wrote about a historic sighting by a prominent Mexican philosopher. We have some stories up there, letters that were written to some of you, my listeners. Some of you might be listening. Nellis Air Force Base UFO Training School, sent in by a good buddy, Dennis. And then a British paratrooper reports UFOs from Afghanistan, and that's our good buddy, Aaron. Now, I didn't use their full names in the story to protect them, but they didn't mind me using their names. But I thought, hey, you know, I don't want to get you guys in trouble or anything, even though I use their real first names right now. So we'll see if they get in any trouble. But yeah, at openminds.tv, you can also listen to and see the television or the radio show. So it's all very cool stuff there. And you can chat in there. You can go join the exciting chat that we all love to look at. So let's see here. The news. We need to cover some UFO news because there is a lot of it, friends. Tons of sightings all over the country and the UK. Some of the most exciting stuff is that our good buddy, or let's talk about some of the media stuff. V. We'll start off with V. ABC, the network, gigantic network television, is doing a remake of the miniseries V, except I think they've turned it into a series. Really interesting stuff. Pretty good show. I think the most interesting news, of course, you know, you David Icke fans out there will love it because it's about reptilians coming and pretending to come back to the planet when they've been here forever and they've been infiltrating humanity. And, you know, David Icke might have written the script on this one. But it was kind of funny because Press Secretary Gibbs was actually asked about this in one of the press conferences at the White House. And he said, hey, have you seen V? You know, the reporter asked if he saw V. It claims that you guys are all reptilians and you're all fooling the world. And he laughed and he says, well, I don't really watch TV. I only watch news and SpongeBob with my kids. So SpongeBob got a plug there. But it was funny that that was brought up. He really didn't say much beyond that. And unfortunately, they didn't admit, well, you know, we are reptilians and we are trying to control your planet. So he didn't admit that. So we don't know that to be the case. But it did come up in the White House, which is kind of an interesting thing. Other stories in the media, The Fourth Kind, lots of really mixed reviews among the public and among UFO researchers. Most of the reviews, in fact, the vast majority I've read, have been pretty negative. And, you know, Mauricio is saying, well, you're sending out these stories that are all negative, eh? He doesn't really, he has an accent. It's not quite like that, but I'm trying to get it down. I'll have him on the show and you'll hear for yourself. But I couldn't find any. I mean, they're all pretty critical of the show. So he went out and looked himself and he says, you know what, my friend, you are right. There are no good stories out there. They're supposed to be good stories. He says, they're not supposed to be. So there's lots of criticism about the whole abduction thing, about the whole, it's about Nome, Alaska, and a lot of people who went missing for a period of time. And this person, I guess, suspected that they were abducted by aliens. So a lot of debate over the show. Very scary. It's really playing off this whole phenomena show, that phenomena activity or whatever scary movie type of thing that was out. So a lot of mixed reviews there. More news about Gary McKinnon. In fact, if you go to openminds.tv, I posted a story about Gary McKinnon and fears over suicide and Asperger's causing, you know, suicidal type of feelings in people, especially when they're taken away from areas they're familiar with. And so the British Parliament has been debating this, and now many of them don't want to extradite him. So that's a good news for him. This thing keeps going back and forth. Now the Parliament seems to be debating. Some are saying that I don't understand how their Parliament works, but the Home Office is saying, no, you know, hey, he's a bad dude, let's get rid of him. But another Department of Home Affairs, I don't quite understand the difference, but they're saying, no, you know, this thing's all messed up. We can't send him over there. What if he dies from his sickness? So now there's actually some debate going on, whereas they were going to extradite him. So he may be getting to stay home, and he may elude the United States prison system. And I think, you know, as civil as we like to think of ourselves, that the world out there, you know, seeing movies like Green Mile and stuff like this, think that our Shawshank Redemption or some of these scary prison movies, don't think that our prisons are necessarily some of the best prisons to hang out in the world. So, of course, especially the British who feel they're ultra-civilized are probably definitely afraid of our prisons, and he may be able to stay away from them. So, you know what? Good for him. I say I'm not a very vengeful person, and he really didn't get anybody killed. And I would suspect that the charges against him, which he claims to be, are greatly exaggerated. The Vatican is back in UFO news. So you may remember Funes. He was the Jesuit priest who was in charge of the Vatican's observatory, which is out here in Arizona where I now live, which is awesome. And I got to go find this place and shake this guy's hand or you know, give him a little bit more information about UFOs and stuff like that. But the Vatican actually had a conference on astrobiology. They brought in Catholics and non-Catholics. They brought in over 30 scientists. And some of these guys, essentially, they're just debating, well, it seems like there's probably life out there. So these extraterrestrial intelligence, you know, were they created by God? You know, God cool with these guys, or, you know, are they cool with Jesus, and is Jesus and God and aliens going to all get along, and stuff like this? And so a very interesting conference. Of course, many people are thinking, oh, this is due to the imminent disclosure that's coming out later this month. Some people are actually claiming that. Some people are saying that the Vatican's going to disclose, or that some sort of mass UFO type of disclosure from those guys up there is going to happen. Or maybe Jesus is going to come down and say, hey, dudes, let me introduce you to some of my buds. These are cool guys. These are Iargans from, another galaxy, and they want to hang with you. So, chill out with these guys for a while. Who knows what the real reasoning is? Maybe they just noticed that in science, we're finding water on Mars, we're finding water on the moon, which means that most likely life of some sort, even if it's very rudimentary, most likely exists, possibly on the closest to planets next to us or large objects. So life must be abundant out there. So who knows what their true game is, but yeah, Vatican is talking a lot about UFOs. Also, this is sad news. Lonnie Zamora passed away. And Lonnie Zamora is actually an incredible case. In Socorro, New Mexico in 1964, this guy near White Sands, which is where they're building V2 rockets and near where they made the atom bomb and all this stuff, well, where all the scientists were, he sees a craft on the ground with some entities around it. He approaches it. While he's approaching it, the entities get into the craft. It flies away. Scientists come, examine the area. They find these tripod marks, just like he said he saw, that was sitting on this egg-shaped thing on a tripod. And the ground under is melted, and there were some microwave effects noted there by the scientists. And this really had a big deal to do with J. Allen Hynek, the astronomer, the official scientist with Air Force, thinking, wow, maybe there is something to UFOs. Hector Quintanilla, who was in charge of Blue Book, and he never alluded to believing in this stuff at all, but I've read articles where he says, hey, that Zamora case was one I couldn't explain. So this guy has just recently passed away, so that's kind of sad, and it's a real interesting case if you ever want to look into that. In fact, you can find it, I believe, in the Blue Book files, which are official Air Force documents that you can find online. Leslie Keene, bless her heart, she sued NASA along with the Sci-Fi Channel and Bill Clinton's ex-dude, John Podesta. I'm going to look this up because this is bugging me. It flew out of my head exactly what position, cabinet position, John Podesta had on the Clinton administration. However, this guy, he is White House Chief of Staff. Jeez. You know what? I can't believe I forgot that. But White House Chief of Staff for Bill Clinton Podesta, he was also in on this lawsuit. And they sued NASA for information on Kecksburg. And Kecksburg was another landing case where people saw what looked like a meteor zooming through the sky and zigzagging at land, landed in this forest near Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. Witnesses said they saw the military come up. There's even a radio guy who said he tried to go in the area and he was shooed out. And so it seems like something really happened there. Well, these guys, Sci-Fi Channel, Podesta, and Leslie King of the Coalition for the Freedom of Information, sued NASA for these files, and they won the lawsuit. They're told, you need to give these guys the files. She finally got the files, hundreds of files. Not one of them had anything to do with Kecksburg. And out of these, there were several boxes of files that had information between NASA and DOD or something to do with Kecksburg, and those files were either mysteriously burned or they were borrowed by someone and they were never given back. That's not very cool, NASA. So she did say the files mostly talked about different information having to do with things NASA investigated that fell from the sky. that were from an unknown origin. And some of these files, I haven't finished looking through them, she says actually were pretty interesting, but nothing to do with Kexburg. And that is, what a bummer. That's not cool. So, Leslie Keene, but you know what? She did a great job with that. And, you know, way to go, Leslie, for doing that. She's done a lot of other cool stuff, too. In fact, her and James Fox had a great press conference at the Washington Press Club a few years ago, which pretty much turned into James Fox's new documentary that you can see on the History Channel called I Know What I Saw, and it's a great documentary. Finally, remember, you could go to our cool new website and look on the list that says UFO headlines, and there you will see nearly daily, you know, 5 to 10 links there, but you will see on the bottom from November 11th, an interesting one where a Spanish artist saw a UFO and he actually painted what he had seen in their very lovely paintings of a dish-shaped object, which was shooting some kind of, or beaming some kind of light under it. So they're kind of neat, some paintings there of a first-hand witness. So go check that out. But that, my friends, is the news for the day. I'm going to type something in here. Yeah, we have a great guest tonight, and I should have started off telling you about him. His name is Arthur David Horn, and he was an anthropologist at CSU, which is a Colorado State University, near where I used to live in Denver, Colorado, a lovely area, CSU, and I got to work with a lot of people from CSU. And he taught, you know, pretty much the whole Darwin thing, that we came from monkeys and all of this. But he doesn't believe that anymore. He believes that we have extraterrestrial origins. He even wrote a book about it, called Humanity's Extraterrestrial Origin. So why would a professor of anthropology all of a sudden believe that we have extraterrestrial origins and now is out lecturing and writing books about it? Why would he do that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, why don't we ask the man himself? Let us dial. Dialing the phone. We're dialing the phone, and this is my dialing song. This is going to be a great interview.
Hello?
Hello, Dr. Horn, this is Alejandro Rojas.
Hello. How are you?
Doing great. So we are on the air on Open Minds Radio, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me today.
I wanted to say I first found out about you and your work through a good friend, Dr. Bob Sibylrud.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I didn't know that, but yes.
Yeah,
I know Dr. Sibylrud. I know him more from his writing, but I did just meet him. What was it, about a month ago, to a couple of months ago, at the conference in Denver where I presented
the Galactic Gathering.
Galactic Gathering. That's what it was called. Sure.
Yeah. So I was involved with the creation of that group, and you know, Bob was as well, and when we talked about speakers, you were the first one. He said, you know, I want to see Arthur David Horn. And funny enough, I actually had your book. I had bought it at a conference about a year ago. So I was a little bit familiar with what your work, and so he spoke highly of you, which is great. And so it's very interesting that you, a professor of anthropology at CSU, outside of Denver.
Right.
Now, go ahead.
Yeah, it's about 50 miles north of Denver, from Fort Collins. is where CSU is located. Yeah.
And so now you believe that humans actually have an extraterrestrial origin.
Yes. Well, of course, I didn't believe that at all while I was at Colorado State University. I believed in the Darwinian, or what I call the Darwinian, neo-Darwinian theory of evolution as the origin of humans and so forth. But it was actually after I resigned from my position there at Colorado State that I started coming across this information about the possibility, the very good possibility, I thought, that when I first came across it, that extraterrestrials were involved in the creation of modern humans, from the more archaic forms of hominids that existed at the time of the supposed creation. I came across a book by this guy named, I didn't know him at the time, this guy named Zachariah Sitchin,
mm-hmm.
And, I read his book, and, it was a possibility to me. It seemed like a possibility. So that, in fact, is how I got into this, whatever you want to call it, this UFO, ET field, whatever.
Yeah. What, what struck you about Sitchin, and if you can kind of talk about what his work is and what was said in his work?
Well, he said that originally he was studying the ancient languages, and he realized that there were a number of mistranslations in many of the ancient languages, ancient Hebrew, ancient Sumerian, all the ancient languages of Mesopotamia, Babylon, and so forth. And so he started his own research of retranslating, so to speak, the tablets of ancient Mesopotamia, and especially ancient Sumer, starting with ancient Sumer. And these tablets told about a story about this extraterrestrial group that came to Earth to exploit the resources here, specifically at the beginning, gold, and then other resources. And in order to help them do that, they created a slave species using their genes and mixing them with the genes of something like Neanderthal man, Homo erectus, something like that. So I was impressed with this story, with his translations, and there were other theories at the time in the anthropological world suggesting that humankind had its beginning in Africa, as Sitchin suggested from his interpretation of the tablets, that humankind, modern humans, that's us, you and me, and everybody, all the humans that live on the earth now, that modern humans had their origin when the extraterrestrial group genetically engineered us, basically, the final version, the final human version, as a slave species. And that was the beginning. And then, of course, I read much more of Sitchin and others who have attempted to interpret some of the ancient records, the ancient histories, the ancient oral histories, as well of ancient peoples all over the world. And so that was sort of my beginning in this whole affair. As you can see, I sort of came in through the back door, and that's sort of where I started this investigation
right.
Years ago, way back in the early 90s, more or less.
So in your research in investigating, you know, those ideas that humans having an extraterrestrial origin and our DNA being changed back then, have you found scientific backing that supports that?
Yes. Well, first of all, start with the historical evidence itself.
Okay.
What Sitchin and others have done is examine the ancient historical records and have found them to be, if you might say, misinterpreted, but distorted, as if they were, you know, perhaps deliberately distorted. And in fact, a further study of history finds that this, in fact, is what has been going on from the beginning, I guess, from the beginning of our creation and so forth. And so that's the first evidence I would suggest, is that there are a number of, really, a lot more than just Sitchin. That's where I started.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more references.
Other cultures around the world?
Oh, yes. That's I guess that's what I should have made clear. Yeah, cultures around the world. It's not just Mesopotamia. That's a good place to start, you know, because those are the earliest, that's where the earliest written records, human written records are found, and the earliest civilization. But also the civilizations, the ancient civilizations in India, in Mesoamerica, South America, China, all of those areas, when you dig into their ancient histories, you find references to flying serpents and dragons, basically. You know, I'm skipping a few steps, but a lot of places they're just called serpents, or maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here.
I know what you mean, like Quetzalcoatl was a
serpent. Yeah, that's a good example, because his name, Quetzal, I can pronounce it Quetzalcoatl, of the god of the Aztecs, of the Mesoamericans, of the Mayans that came before them. His name means flying serpent. And there, if you look into the history, not only in Mesoamerica, but back in, you know, in Sumer and in the Middle East there, and China and India, you find a lot of references to these, at least flying serpents,
mm-hmm.
which can be interpreted, which are interpreted to mean that, first of all, these gods, or whatever they were in fact a reptilian race, and that they flew around in some sort of craft. And Quetzalcoatl means flying serpent, like I said. And so these type of references, like I said, are found, well, throughout the world. And
mm-hmm.
that's what really started interested me and my wife Lynette in the early 90s. And so
I know you've probably looked into this, and one site that seems to be really interesting is Near Lake, and this lake is always fun to say, Near Lake Titicaca.
Okay.
And I think it's Teotihuacan, is that where it is? But there's a site where there's a bunch of sculptured faces, and they look like the faces represent all of the different types of people. Like, it looks like there's black people, Jewish people, European people, and people with big noses and wide noses, and different shapes and stuff.
Yeah, I'm somewhat familiar with the site you're mentioning, and
mm-hmm.
then I've read quite a bit. But right now, I can't recall the exact details, but there are a number of depictions in South America and Central America, ancient depictions of the ancient civilizations, of people that were that obviously weren't closely related genetically to the people that lived there. The people that lived there apparently in the ancient civilizations and that live there today. They have beards, and also there are lots of sculptures in the ancient Olmec civilization and in Central America of people that were obviously have Negroid features, features of blacks, and were obviously from Africa, and other carvings of people that had beards and a lot of facial hair, which the Native Americans, the ancient Mayans and so forth, did not have.
It's funny you mention that, because people can't. Usually we have like a video streaming where you can see me here talking, and it's not working today. And I have a bunch of facial hair, which I usually don't. And you know what? I'll probably shave, and people are going to miss that. So sorry. Maybe we'll take a picture. But another person, someone said, someone's doubting, and you can confirm. Someone thinks I made that up. But there is a Lake Titicaca down there, and I think it's Peru. It's near Machu Picchu.
Lake Titicaca is, I think you're just referring to the lake in Bolivia, which is just south of Peru. And the lake itself is very interesting because it has, let me just talk about the lake for a minute before I start talking about the archaeological sites around it. The lake has in it a number of species, a species of seahorse, and which doesn't exist in any other freshwater lake. And there's evidence that that's part of the evidence that the lake and the city surrounding it were once at sea level or near sea level. So how else were the seahorses themselves going to be there? And it was suddenly lifted up. There was some sort of a massive catastrophe there.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I know some people think that possibly was the site of Atlantis.
Well, I haven't actually heard that, but certainly it was the site of an ancient civilization of some sort that we really know very little about. You know, all we have are have the archaeological remains, and I don't think we have any writings down there, and oral histories. I don't think so. We know very little, as far as I know, at least. We know very little about that area down there, at least the archaeology, except that it's extraordinary, and it could not have been built by ancient near Stone Age type men and women. It just could not have been the stone. First of all, the stonework, the stones themselves weighed thousands and thousands of tons, and were moved from nearby locations and sometimes far locations. How did they get the stones there in the first place is the first question. And then they are carved and planed off. I don't have the right terminology and so forth, but in incredible ways. The rock itself, I was just saw this on TV, the rock itself is the second hardest rock in the world, if you can imagine, and the only way it could be cut, it's grooved. The only way it could be cut is through a drill with the hardest rock in the world, which is diamonds. That's the only way it could have been cut as it has been. Well, and it goes on and on like that, but it's certainly an extraordinary place down there, whether it's Atlantis or some other civilization.
What about Easter Island? Do you think that those big carvings hold evidence of support this idea?
Well, possibly. I've read about Easter Island and seen pictures of those statues and so forth. And yes, it seems to me it is that. Of course, I'm already pretty much convinced of this whole hypothesis from a number of other information and data all over the world. But yes, why would they they'd carve up these huge statues that I'm sure all of the audiences have seen. And face them out. What did they face in which direction? Do you face them out? Line them up and face them out toward the east, east of the island.
Can't remember which direction.
Well, it was whatever. You know, these there was something extraordinary going on. I don't know whether that's with something like this. Is evidence is certainly it's not proof, but whether it's evidence of extraterrestrials or certainly it's evidence that the ancient peoples of this earth were much more knowledgeable I don't know how to put it, mature, intelligent, and so forth than most anthropologists, historians of ancient. Civilizations give them credit for much more. Something else was going on. Either they had been, perhaps taught how to do some of these things, or someone else was doing them for them. There's evidence for this, Alejandro. As you know, I'm sure, all over the globe, there are these extraordinarily large stone monuments of one sort of another all over the place, and that's you can start with the pyramids and so forth, but go from there. But they're all over the world.
So you mentioned that you had also found some scientific evidence.
Well, it was mostly the scientific evidence was. Sort of came in like this to me, to my sort of reasoning. The hominids, the ancient hominids, as we called them back in my anthropological days when I was a professor of anthropology at the CSU, hominids, they were ancient human-like creatures, sort of like Neanderthal man, as most of your readers are familiar with them, were all over the world, all over the old world, I should say, Africa, Eurasia, and so forth. But the step toward modern humans, what we are, where we have a different shaped head, different jaws, and all that type of thing, the step that what exactly caused humans to evolve or to advance, develop to this more modern stage, and then to suddenly develop, well, we're suddenly, for the first time, at least this is the way the story goes, developed agriculture and soon developed the first civilizations and the first writing and the first everything. All of a sudden, everything started happening extremely fast compared to what it was. And this evidence compared with other scientific, the genetic evidence that humans had their beginnings, their biologic, their genetic beginnings in Africa. And then they spread throughout the old world, Europe and Asia, and then eventually to the rest of the new world, and so forth. And so the correlation basically is what got me started at first to follow this path of believing that perhaps we had been genetically engineered by a species. And it went on from there, Alejandro. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of evidence, mostly historical and anthropological. The archaeological evidence about the huge stones throughout the world is to me scientific evidence that something else was going on than
yeah.
than what is usually assigned, you know,
yeah.
to ancient humans.
Well, I know one. There was this In Search Of. Did you ever see that with Leonard Nimoy? The television.
Okay,
show.
let me think about it. In Search Of. I think so, but. Keep talking.
A TV show about the paranormal is actually started by, I just had his name in my head, and the guy who does Ed Serling, the guy who did The Twilight Zone. It was started by him, and he did two movies called In Search Of, where he hosted them, and then he had passed away, and when they started the series, he started with Leonard Nimoy. But these movies can be pretty difficult to find, especially the second one. And a buddy of mine found a copy, and we converted it to DVD. He found it in 16mm. And they had a scientist on who had just won a Nobel Prize, and this was made in the 70s, early 70s. And this scientist was saying that the rate that we have developed mentally and the size of our brains, along with these slight differences in our genetics from everything else on the planet, he was certain that humans did not have an earthbound origins from those things. He didn't think there was any way that humans could have an earthbound origin. And he had just won a Nobel Prize. I always thought that was really interesting.
Yes, and I think our geneticists are becoming more and more adept at unlocking, you might say, our genetic code. I think this might happen someday. As it is now, it seems to me. Well, in fact, it might be happening now. There are some evidence. Maybe I could talk a little bit about that later. There is some genetic evidence of the evolution of higher consciousness
mm-hmm.
in humans, which is related to this whole subject, the archaeological evidence, I would say, and the character in your movie and others and many others have said the advancement of humans since the myths say, the legends say, the oral histories say, since the deluge, since the worldwide catastrophe that destroyed the civilizations that were in place before that deluge, that the rate of advancement of humans, human culture, human, like I just mentioned, the first languages, the first civilizations arose very quickly throughout the world after thousands and millions of years of evolution, of slow development of humans. From an ancient phase of Australopithecus, where an ape man type, gradually going to more advanced forms. The stone tools gradually, very gradually, changing and advancing, evolving over the millions of years. And then all of a sudden, wham, everything, metallurgy, farming, streets, civilization, huge buildings, almost, just within a few thousand years. And that by itself is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And,
a couple of questions from the chat. First, I think that this person, though, didn't understand. Were you saying that we didn't move out from Africa?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. I'm sorry if I didn't speak clearly. No, we did move out of Africa.
That's what you said, actually.
Yeah, and the evidence is that modern humans evolved. Fully modern humans like you and me, with language and so forth, and the head shape that is characteristic of modern humans and so forth, evolved first in Africa and then moved out. Now, that's a theory that has been and is still debated. Others say that there were other developments of modern humans in the Far East, and Europe perhaps at an earlier date. So you know, this whole theory is debated still, but it was a theory that was very prominent back in the late 80s and early 90s when I was first exposed to the extraterrestrial hypothesis, so to speak. Yes, and so we did, we certainly, a good part of us did first evolve in Africa, and then, or at least was developed in Africa and then moved out to the rest of the world. At least that's the evidence so far.
One person asked if you had any theories or ideas on junk DNA.
Oh, yes. Junk DNA, first of all, I don't believe, and I haven't believed for years. I think it's in our book. I can't remember. Anyway, junk DNA, first of all, is not junk. Maybe I should explain to some of your readers that the modern geneticist, evolutionary theorist, and so forth believe that the DNA that is not activated on our DNA, that is not being used, that is not being used to produce proteins, to produce a living organism, and so forth, is junk that maybe was used formerly in our evolution in ancient times, millions of years ago and so forth, but it's no longer used, so it's just sort of hanging around as junk. But I know I don't believe it is or ever was junk. I think it's the DNA that is to be activated when those of us who can and are going to be able to evolve to a higher state of consciousness will be activated as we evolve and work on our evolution and so forth. That's what I believe junk DNA is. It's DNA ready to be activated as we become smarter and more conscious of everything.
Well, that's essentially what this person was asking. So she's extremely intelligent, this short and sassy person who's in the chat who asked that question.
Well, yeah, she sounds like an interesting person.
And how dare they call any of my DNA junk DNA?
Yeah, really. I'm insulted, too. I don't blame her. I am, too.
Yeah, I love my DNA.
DNA getting ready. Hey, listen, give me another... a few months, and I'll show you what you can do with so-called junk DNA.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I'm just implying that I am working on trying to reach a higher consciousness. As I feel,
wonderful.
You know, I feel basically, I just throw this out to Alejandro, that that's what ultimately, that's what this whole field, study, this, all this.
Well, I really love the. I'm a psychology student, and I love the transpersonal type of psychology, which is centers around that is our internal purpose is to evolve ourselves.
Yeah, well, that's basically what me and my wife are. That's our main interest in this whole phenomenon of this ET extraterrestrial field, if you might say. This whole field of how conscious, how we have the capability of evolving, we humans have the capability of evolving consciously, and how the, for some reason, well, the powers to be, the extraterrestrials that we believe are still hanging around trying to limit our consciousness, are trying to hide from us, actually, and trying to keep us from evolving consciously beyond this world. They like us here in the third dimensions. They seem to get a lot of benefit from us being here. And so they don't want us to move on to other worlds, higher dimensions, you know, beyond this three dimensions. That's the way we feel about it anyway. That's what we're interested in working on.
I think a lot of people would agree with you. So with getting back to the Africa thing, someone's kind of asking in there too.
Sure.
Do you feel that, you know, were there different models? I mean, it would make sense that obviously we all look very different. We don't all look like Africans. You know, there's a
white,
yeah, and yellow,
and
brown,
the
and red.
The different racial types, so to speak.
Yeah, there are some theories that perhaps we, each race was created, has different extraterrestrial origins. Or do you think there was one kind of master maker who just made different models?
Yeah, well, you know, I've thought about this myself, and I have to confess I've read accounts from, I don't know, if you might call them channeled accounts about this, and I've pretty much concluded that, yes, indeed, I think there has been more than one genetic manipulation, you might say, to create the modern humans. There's been more than one. There's been one in Africa. There's been at least one in Asia, maybe. I'd say at least one in Asia. And I don't know where else, but at least more than one, maybe two. I've read where there might be two or three. And beyond, you know, going way back in time, before the present civilizations arose, and there were, I believe, civilizations that went on back millions of years, maybe thousands of years anyway. There were other types of humans, other experiments. In a way, we are an experiment with human types, something like us, but different in different ways. You know, different. Yes, I think there have been several genetic manipulation, and the one in Sumer, what's now Iraq, is the best documented that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But we have other not documentations, that would be histories, oral histories, from Mesoamerica and from China and from India as well, to mention most of them, yeah.
Right.
Let's see.
So, mentioning Iraq, there was a case, and this was really interesting, and it was well documented, and I don't know where you can find it now, where when the Iraq War started, there were a lot of artifacts that mysteriously disappeared, and they were ancient Sumerian artifacts. Do you think there is a suppression of this information?
There's the suppression of this information. The powers that be, in our opinion, which we expressed, in our book, which we published years ago, Humanity's Extraterrestrial Origins, our opinion, the extraterrestrials are controlling our societies and, more importantly, our consciousness, trying to, and have been since the beginning of our creation, basically, and the first civilizations and so forth. And there's always been a suppression of this information. The extraterrestrials themselves, I should explain, work with humans. In fact, they started creating, I guess, what you might call hybrids. Back in ancient times, there's evidence that they did, in order to fill the post, the administration post, the priesthoods and the rulers, the scribes and so forth, and so they could control this. And yes, I think this information has been controlled from ancient times to the present. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the artifacts being destroyed or disappearing. There are a number of cases of archaeological artifacts disappearing, being disputed, and so forth. Michael Cremo and David Thompson's book, what's it called? Archaeology. You can't think of the titles. Untold Anthropology, I can't remember the name of the book off the top of my head, but there's been a whole book written about this, basically, is what I'm saying, and lots of cases of data, scientific, I would call artifacts, well, I do call artifacts and ancient writings, not to mention ancient oral histories, as evidence, historical evidence, if not scientific evidence, the artifacts, that does disappear, that has been disappearing and suppressed forever, apparently. Present day, ancient times, in between, always. That's our information. That's the information that we have. That's what we're writing about.
Yeah, someone just wrote a theory here that there are 5 different races now that have been created by different civilizations, and that the new hybrids that are being created in abductions are going to be the 6th race.
Well, I've read about theories about like that myself, and
yeah, who knows?
I don't know. It could be, I suppose. Yeah.
So, in this scenario, at least in the Sumerian scenario, it's that these extraterrestrials came. They were reptilian in nature, and they found the Homo sapien. They improved it and fixed it up to make it better, to create this slave race to help them, I think, mine gold.
That's the story of the that's Sitchin's interpretation. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
And
right.
So
the mine gold, though. See, they came down. The story is they needed gold to save their own planet. I think they were just coming down to get gold, and they'd always been on this planet. Or been here at least longer than humans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure about this, but. They came down to get gold, and the story goes, the Anunnaki, that's what they were called, that was the one of the names of this race were called, the Anunnaki. Workers themselves were it's hard work mining gold, and they complained, and I said, look, we can't do this anymore. I don't know. The story is, I can't remember exactly. So they decided to create a slave race from a primitive primate here on Earth. And that's the way the story goes, roughly speaking, from Sumerian point of view. Yeah.
Okay.
And then that was the beginning. And then eventually they created their own civilization or settlement that they called Eden. And eventually the Adamu, as they called the primitive slaves, were taken back to this place called Eden, and were taught how to do the basic dirty work there, and they worked in that place, and until some of them were kicked out, as the story goes, and it goes on and on like that. It's very interesting. If some of the readers haven't read this or a summary of it, I certainly recommend it. It's very interesting indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Not only in ancient, real ancient times, but in the more recent times of some of the Sumerian and later civilizations in Mesopotamia.
Mm-hmm. Now, they created the civilizations, and I think I heard you mention it before, seated the leaders, like perhaps even the original pharaohs, who seemed to be different than the others.
Yeah, that's the information some of this comes from Sitchin, but also from... R.A. Belay, who wrote, a book called The Flying Serpents and Dragon. He documents that one of the tablets, or some of the tablets, suggest that, or no, say as much, that the the ancient race, whatever the extraterrestrial race, would actually mate with their with the representatives of their slave race, and then the resulting offspring, the so-called half-breeds, whatever, would in fact be the ones that would fill the important governmental, religious leading positions in the civilization in Sumer, in ancient Sumer.
Mm-hmm. So
and they're still doing it today. They're still. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
But they're still basically these type of. I hate to use that word happy. I can't think of another term right now. But are still being used to control and manipulate and to fill leadership roles throughout the planet.
Before I forget, I want to get more into that. That's a great segue in getting into modern times and things like that. But a friend of mine had a dream, and it was a repeating dream, and he believed this to be a past life. And it was of, and it's so elaborate, it's so deep, that this was a scenario, that he was an ancient, like, giant. And essentially what happened was a race came here that was very etheric and less physical. And they created people, and they would manifest themselves into these creatures that they created. And these were these cats and panthers and these half-human, half-animal type of things that they would create these bodies, and then they would inhabit them to have a physical body to be able to communicate and operate here on this plane, and that they created the humans. And it was a kind of a slave thing, but it was very, it was very democratic, and they worked together, and they wanted to work together. They were all working on one single goal. And then the reptilians came. And they came and said, this is our planet, we were here first, and there was a giant war. And during this war, they corrupted humans, and essentially this original race, sorry, this is a long story, but it's pretty interesting, it relates to this stuff, that this original etheric race said, look, we're going to have to leave, we're not at warring, war is ridiculous because we're all really not material anyways, our bodies die. It's just ridiculous to destroy a body when you're just going to manifest in another body, but we have to leave now because the energy's changed and you're going to have to work out this whole thing on your own. So they had to leave and leave the humans. And this guy was a giant, and he had this giant staff, and he would watch the war going on, and he would guard this gate as the original group, and I forget what he called them, left. And if the battle got too close to him, he would hit his staff on the ground, which would create like this huge nuclear explosion that would just destroy everything in a certain radius. And he was guarding them leaving, and he remembers this profound sadness as they left us humans to ourselves to deal with these reptilians. And he thought, well, he understood that it had to be this way until we could reach the level of being, more etheric like they are. But, man, what an interesting story that was.
Well, it sounds certainly sounds like it, and I can only say that, there's probably been a lot of extraordinary things that would, amaze even, those of us who already know there are extraordinary things, there have been extraordinary things going on here. And, it's a something like that, I wouldn't put it past, having happened, here or somewhere else or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, though, I want to say that, our research indicates that just because being as a reptilian, it doesn't mean that they are unevolved and trying to control other people secretly. In fact, there are information, and you must be aware of this from one of Silverwood's books that there's evidence that there are reptilian civilizations that are far, far advanced to ours, where they don't actually fight wars, if you can imagine that.
This guy, I'm sitting next to Wendell Stevens, a doll that was made for him of an Iargon. And these were reptilian creatures that were friendly and peaceful that supposedly had met someone. So, and Wendell Stevens has the book Contacts from Iargon, I think.
That's one of the things I was thinking about.
Yeah, Bob wrote about that. Bob wrote something in his book about that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and so let's not give them all a bad name.
Oh yeah.
Some of them are really great people, far advanced to most of us consciously. I think.
I'm out here in the Southwest, and there's not a lot of lizards, and I love lizards.
Let's not make reptiles in general sort of
they're
fine animals. They're doing the best they can, just like all of us.
Well, and not to talk, not to get back into bad reptilian stuff.
We can talk about them too, because it does seem
there might be some bad guys.
There seem to be mostly bad guys down here for some reason. I don't know what happened to all the good guys. How come they all left?
Did you watch the series V in the 80s?
I saw the movie. Now, is that the same thing, or is that a compilation?
There's a mini series in the 80s, and now there's a series that just started out. That's a remake of that mini series in the 80s.
I didn't see the first one or two, but my wife did, and she's been banging me over the head saying, hey, you've got to watch this and so forth.
Yeah.
And so I'm planning on watching the next one, yes.
Well, the story was all created in the early 80s where this UFO shows up, and there are these peaceful people who are saying, we want to join you. Well, it turns out, as they start to figure stuff out, that these are, when you rip off their skin, they're actually reptilians. And that they didn't just arrive. They've been here for a long time manipulating society, and this is their next step to take control or something like that.
Right.
And very David Icke-ish type of scenario.
Right, exactly. I remember that from the movie that I saw about, 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was, 10 years ago or whatever. Right, it sounds very much very similar.
So do you think, you feel then there are this evil race of reptilians that are trying to manipulate our society. Someone in the chat said they believe that Dick Cheney was hatched. He didn't.
Well, I don't know of anyone specifically, but it's my understanding that it's not so much that the reptilians themselves first of all, it's my understanding, it's our understanding that they are able to move into the next dimension, beyond the third dimension, very easily, which we're not even aware of, or hardly aware of, most of us. And so from there, it's very easy for them to manipulate, or not easy for them, but at least easier for them to manipulate as poor, ignorant humans from this dimension. In other words, they're I don't know what you say, metaphysically more advanced in many ways, and they're reported to be very intelligent from an intellectual point of view, very intelligent, but just lacking some in consciousness, spiritual consciousness, higher consciousness, ideas. And for some reason they seem to be dominating this place, and they use, like I said, they use certain humans to help them to occupy certain major positions, to help them dominate the world, to dominate all the resources, all the educational systems, the economic systems, and what else, on and on. That's what we believe. That's what we argued several years ago, and that's what we still believe.
Well, so do you believe in that David Icke essentially scenario, it sounds like?
David Icke, you know, I think he's essentially correct.
You think
I hate to, you know, I mean, it's a terrible scenario. I mean, I just hate to be like this, and I know that Icke and me and others are just simply dismissed and disliked and everything else because we have this scenario. But I don't know. I come from different directions than Icke does, and Icke comes in from different directions than someone else, and there are several others, not just
right.
Icke and others. So yes, I think he's essentially correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not details and so forth and all this naming of different extraterrestrials. I don't know enough about that to venture into that. But you know, yes, I believe some of them are at least controlled by.
Do you believe there is that there are these rituals of you know?
Yes. The evidence that we've come across suggests that there are incredible, that they are extremely ritualistic. You might find that they get into rituals, and that in fact the rituals seem to wake up certain latent capabilities within their own, say, half-breeds, and they are able to go ahead and carry out their dark agendas. And what I mean by dark agendas, against the truth, you know, whatever agendas that is, and they're pretty dark, it seems to us. Yes, I'm again, it's a sad situation, but I think basically what we feel is that when you really realize what situation we're in this world, you'll try to do everything you can to consciously evolve out of this world and get away from this where you have to believe you have to believe in reincarnation as we do. Get out of this cycle, as you know, a lot of ancient teachings try to teach us. Get out of this cycle that we're in, trying down here in this physical plane, and go somewhere else where it's much nicer. No wars, no plagues, no whatever, you know, whatever they use.
So do you think that these guys somehow are not able to evolve spiritually as humans can?
That is a good question. I think once a being, any kind of being, it's be a human being or a reptilian being, starts a negative path, you know, and doesn't turn it around, I think they can go pretty far down the negative ways and become quite diabolical, as they have in many cases. It just seems that is what they've done, and they're a long way from, and they want to, and like I said, they're trying to do everything they can to cover up the very idea that we can actually evolve out of this type of a very negative situation. But well, there are other reasons for us being here, you know, and as you know, Alejandro, I'm sure you know, it all gets very complicated, it seems to us, as we go along and start talking about why we're here and what we came from and what, just what's going on. But what in the world is going on with all this? that's the interesting thing about this whole field. At least we feel we can approach some answers, you know, along these routes of trying to figure out is who we are and what's going on.
I know, you know, one theory that I heard recently where it was Richard Dolan and his talk where someone had asked him a question and ideas around motives, and he talked about, you know, if an intelligent species ran across much more intelligent than we are, more advanced humans such as ourselves, perhaps that they would want to manage to help keep us under control, you know, they would want to manage us. And I think he was kind of referring to this possible reptilian situation where it's not as diabolical as just trying to manage this group of wild animals that are about to break out into the universe.
Well, it's we're frequently asked and have been asked since we got into this field and wrote the book and wrote Humanity's Extraterrestrial Origins and started talking about it. What do the extraterrestrials get from our existence here? There's some obvious answers, but as we go along, we come across a possible explanation that there's it's part of lore, the UFO extraterrestrial lore, that these extraterrestrials somehow live off our emotions, off our negative emotions. They our emotions somehow can be used as I don't know what you would call it, as a drug, and they
Actually, I heard a theory that in these rituals, the reptilians scare their prey, often humans or animals, scare their prey before they kill them, and right when they kill them, they drink their blood because of the drug that we secrete when we're afraid. What they want to suck.
Isn't that awful? I mean, I know. I've read stories like that, and others have these. There are books out by people who purported to have seen these rituals and so forth, and as you know, obviously. And just awful. Isn't it just awful to think about things like that? But at the same time, it's the human choice. It's not as if they control everything. It's human choice what direction we want to go in our lives, whether we want to go toward dark, diabolical type things, in our everyday lives, or whether we want to go toward more positive aspirations, more positive ways of expressing ourselves and living and so forth. And that's just sort of what we feel is the higher consciousness path.
My weapon against those reptilians is love.
Yeah, well, that's the best we have as far as we're concerned. And it's been shown, it's been proven that, the masters that actually go on this path, that have gone on this path, they can go way beyond anything that we have here, and come back and go on. I'm talking about, some of the real high masters of the Far East, and maybe someone like Jesus and so forth. But it's possible, whether it's obviously very difficult.
Do you think the reptilians have infiltrated the Vatican?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure. In fact, Alejandro, the book we're working on right now, called that we're tentatively calling Historical Truths Revealed, delve into that very subject, basically the subject of the creation of Christianity back in the times that Jesus Christ was purported to have lived and been crucified and so forth. And I don't know exactly which reptilian was. I don't know who was who, in other words, but it's quite clear that that someone was trying to radically distort the teachings, in our opinion, to radically distort the true teachings of Jesus, or whomever it was that was making these teachings, the teachings of which reached the Bible. They were trying to distort these teachings for their own purposes, and trying to distort the ideas that come from the East, that come from India, that come from Hinduism, Buddhism especially, that we can and are evolving consciously. And the emphasis should be on the development of the Godhead, the development of the Godhead within rather than depending on an outside source like the church, an outside God like the Son of God that's supposed to save us. And to instead to work on, do the hard work of finding the Godhead within.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that that's what happened. And
well, that's,
that has to, in order for such a tremendous, this was a tremendous distortion, a manipulation of the consciousness, we feel, of the consciousness.
Well, that, I agree with you there. And I subscribe to Buddhist philosophy. I've, and I think there's a lot of similarities. I believe in this universalism, where I believe Jews is what's talking the same stuff. But I have to think that they would know that as well. They would understand this advanced philosophy like we do. And I always, it's hard for me to reconcile that these advanced creatures wouldn't understand this advanced philosophy and understand that they're only hurting themselves.
I sympathize with the way you're thinking, Alejandro, because I've been thinking the same way for years. But and like I said earlier, there's no question that the reptilian beings are part of the one of all of us, and that they are capable. They are certainly capable of reaching higher consciousness, of Buddha consciousness of some sort. But they certainly chose not to, and yes, I don't understand exactly why or how this happened. Or
well, if there are any reptilians listening to the show?
Yeah, please help us out.
Offer my services. You know, let's have a talk, and I think we can share some, help enlighten them and bring them to a more substantial and permanent peace.
Yeah, and Alejandro, you can also use the human example. We have, millions of humans that could be following the teachings of the Buddha and or Krishna or the true teachings of Jesus or whatever. But they don't. They don't know anything. They don't believe in them. They don't. Don't show any interest, or show only marginal interest, the sort of knee-jerk interest or something like that, that. And so I guess it's not totally not understandable that some of the reptilians went south as well, so to speak.
Well, you know what? I hate to say it, but we are out of time.
Go ahead.
Knew we would have a lot of talk about, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, it has. I certainly enjoyed it. I always enjoy talking about this subject with someone who knows something about it, sometimes it's hard to find such.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a great pleasure, and everybody can go find your book even on Amazon.com, right?
Yes, or you could get a hold of us on our website, which is, I might just plug, www.historicaltruthsrevealed.com.
Historicaltruthsrevealed.com?
No, www.historicaltruthsrevealed.com. Gosh, I don't even have it right here.
.com.
Or Arthur Horn,
Arthur Horn, you can find on Amazon. Yeah. All right, well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Okay, well, thanks for having me again, and have a good evening.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
Well, for my listeners, thank you for being on the show, too. We are almost out of time, but remember, openminds.tv. Go there every day because we've got new content there every day. We've got the latest news stories, all of these UFO updates I'm talking about and more. You can go to read these stories. You can see the new posts we've got out there. We got new stuff there all the time. Openminds.tv. You can listen to old radio shows. You can watch old radio shows. It's got everything and more coming. So, and you'll be able to read about who will be on next week. I don't know yet, but we'll have something figured out, and we'll get this video thing working, hopefully, and we'll have our video back up next time. So join us next week, Thursday, 4 p.m. Arizona time for Open Minds Radio.